Red Pill Torah, calling believers from man's institutions to God's instructions. On today's podcast, we're going to hear more great teaching from Ephraim Judah. I'm Tim.
And I'm Miss. He will be teaching on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 18, and on how we, as the body of Messiah, reach the standard of maturity as set by our Lord and King, Yeshua.
Amen. You can email us at redpilltorah@gmail.com. Follow us on redpilltorah.podbean.com. Find us at our website, www.redpilltorah.com, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Deezer, TuneIn, Spotify, Listen Notes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and YouTube. We love to hear from you.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Feel free to make a comment or ask a question. And we want to send a big shout out to our listeners in Louisiana and Cyprus.
Now, if you heard our episode number 72, you know that we met Ephraim Judah at the Feast of Tabernacles 2020. He serves as the director of Lion and Lamb Ministries, founded by his father, Monty Judah. As we talked, Miss and I referred to him as the General. Now, while I don't think he accepted that title, we meant it to recognize the strategic leadership role of their ministry. Brother Ephraim showed great humility and grace when he spoke to us.
Tim and I have benefited from the teaching by Monty and Ephraim, and actually meeting them was a joy.
Mm-hmm.
They are very personable in person, as they seem online, and it was great to be able to fellowship with them during Sukkot. We look forward to doing it again. Well, Tim, I'm sure our listeners are waiting, so let's roll the tape.
We want to talk to Brother Ephraim about evangelism and the Messianic movement and what's going on there, and how do we reach the masses with this message about the Torah? So what do we do about that, Brother Ephraim?
Well, it's certainly something that we need to do. We need to do something about it, because having been in this movement my whole life, I've come to notice and realize that there is not as enough evangelism that it is going on, whether it's in the Messianic movement to reach out to fellow brethren, certainly within the Jewish movement, not a lot of evangelism either. And so the whole idea of going out and reaching the people to serve them, to bring them the message, the good news, the message of hope. And honestly, what I honestly think we don't do enough as well is we don't partner with people or find people that walk in that gift. A lot of times people that have that gift, we actually tend to ostracize from our communities, from our fellowships and things, because what happens is this, is we'll be sitting in our fellowship and somebody will, stand up and say, whether it's in an elders meeting or somewhere else, and they'll say, we need to go and do this. We need to go reach out to the people. And sometimes those people get shut down. They're like, well, oh, so you want to leave? We're working here and we're ministering to these people, weekly here, and we need to take care of the flock here. And what it is somebody with the gift of evangelism it's stirring in their heart to reach out to reach more people, but sometimes that gets shut down in the movement, unfortunately. And you got to remember, this of course ties back to the fivefold ministry and all of the spiritual gifts that it says the Messiah gives us. It gives to us in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. We need to all be working together, and we need to find the people who have each spiritual gift and work together. Not just be doing one or the other, but all five have to come into conjunction to work together in the ministering and the edifying of the body. You can't just have one. And unfortunately, what happens is in a lot of fellowships and congregations, you'll have like one person that has to occupy every single one of those roles. You'll have the head pastor, the lead pastor, and he's got to put a message together every single week, and he's got to teach, but then he's also got to be the pastor and the shepherd and do all the individual counseling. And when somebody walks in off the street and they don't know anything about the gospel or the Messiah, he's got to be the one that teaches them that. And then if the Lord wants to use him to speak to his people, well, then he's going to be the one that receives that message and does it. And the apostle that basically is in charge of everything and builds it all from the ground up anyways.
When you put it that way, it doesn't really sound fair.
It doesn't, and it's not... And it's too much work for one person. You got to remember the body of Messiah is not just one person, but it's this conglomerate of people that all come together, and we all work together for the edifying of the body. And we have to find the people that have the different gifts and then work with them, utilize them, foster those gifts, and put that focus on there. I've always heard the teaching of this ministry of about the fivefold ministry, that it applies to the fingers on the hand. And that the what it is this, is that the teacher is the one that's over here on the pinky finger. Pinky finger is the teacher. It might seem like the most insignificant of the finger, but when it comes to grasping anything, all your strength comes from that finger, being able to hold on to something. Just like a teacher teaches us the knowledge that is usually the foundation that kind of holds everything that we know and understand together. We need that knowledge as a foundation to build, and that strength to grip and grasp any other concept within Scripture. Mm-hmm. You then have the covenant finger, the ring finger, that's your pastor, that teaches you how to be in covenant with one another, counsels with families, and all of those different things. The evangelist ties to the middle finger, which is the longest of all the fingers, that has the greatest amount of reach when you go and reach out to gather the people or gather whatever is needed. And then you have the index finger, is the prophet that points the way. The Lord says, do this, do that. And he's the one who says, God told us to go that way. So you use the index finger to point that. And then the thumb is the one the apostle has to work with every other office of ministry, just like the thumb can contact every other finger on the hand. And it often has to, you know, learn and teach and grow everyone to work in their various offices of ministry. Mm-hmm. And the apostle builds the kingdom, builds churches, builds and establishes these things. And all of these things have to all work together in conjunction with one another. Unfortunately, in our movement, the Messianic movement, we have a huge abundance of teachers. Tons of teachers, tons of conveyors of knowledge. We have a few pastors that lead fellowships and congregations. We almost have no evangelism whatsoever. Prophets, we don't recognize prophets in our midst, and I'll tell you in a little bit who I think those people are. And then apostles, where's the leadership in the movement? Where's the banner that we sort of all unite along? Now, if you took those fingers on a hand and you looked at it, and if your pinky finger was really long and had a lot of teachers, and your ring finger was a little bit longer, and then all the other fingers were a bunch of nubs, does that hand do a lot of good work?
No, that's not
really. Good. I think the Lord taught us with the shape of our hand how much we need of each one. That the leader is, when you're holding your hand together, that thumb doesn't come up very far, but you don't need a lot of apostles, but you need them there that are there to work with all of the other ones. You then need the most evangelists of all of them, because you need to win more souls for the Lord. You need to be reaching out and reaching the people. All the other ones, we need prophets, we need pastors, and then teachers is actually one of the lesser ones. We have more of that than anything, but it's honestly, you just need some teachers leading your Bible studies and sharing that knowledge. And so the shape of our hand is like a bar graph telling us how many we need of each office of ministry.
Oh, that's innovative.
But yeah. We need to be all working together, and we need to find those people and do the best to foster that and work with that. We need to understand the pitfalls of what it is to work in any of those offices of ministry. Let's talk about the prophet, for instance. Okay. The prophet is one of the most misunderstood offices of ministry, that it is not a righteous fortune teller that predicts the future. The prophet is the one who receives the word from the Lord. The Lord says, go and tell somebody this. You need four things to have biblical prophecy. You need God, you need the message, you need the prophet, and the audience that is supposed to receive it. If you don't have all four of those things, you don't have true prophecy. Somebody might come along and say, I have a message from the Lord and I'm supposed to share it. Well, who's it for? Well, whoever will listen. Nope, that's not how prophecy works. You got to tell me who the audience is, because the Lord will always tell you who the audience is, just like he told Jonah, go to Nineveh.
Amen.
So that's what you need for prophets, and they need to share the word of the Lord, no more, no less. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't tell them only the good parts. Don't add your own opinion to it. Just tell them what the Lord told you to say, and that's the work of a prophet. The manifestation of that in our modern fellowships is your prayer warriors. The ones who just feel a sense and a yearning of the Lord to go and pray for somebody and say, here, go pray for that person. And they'll be like, okay, Lord, I don't even know that person. He says, go pray. Mm-hmm. So they go, they start praying, and they start saying, and they start becoming the voice for the Lord to speak something into somebody's life. And those prayer warriors are truly what occupies the office of prophet. But we don't really recognize that. We don't recognize that that's what's going on when those prayer warriors are working in our fellowships.
No, we don't.
The apostles are the ones that are building and establishing congregations. They're raising up leaders, and they work with others. And they might jump around, and it might think like, man, they don't ever set up any roots, or they're not ever committed to anything. Well, that's because they're constantly working on building the facets of the kingdom. and building new, establishing things. And you can't rely on somebody who's an apostle who helped get a church off the ground. You can't count on them to continue and to do all the work for you, because they're there to equip and establish pastors and teachers and leaders of that congregation. Their job is then to go and start another one. So if you might come across a pastor and you feel like somebody abandoned you in the process, well, they might have a greater calling to go and do more work because they occupy the office of an apostle. Pastors, there's your counselors. You've heard it said people have too much of a pastor's heart versus a teacher. Pastors and teachers sometimes are interchangeable, but you'll notice with some teachers that, you know, some teacher might not have a pastor's heart. He'll go up and he'll share a great message to you, but you'll go and you're trying to seek, you know, counsel for some issue in your life, and they don't have a word for you. That's not their job. And then you got the pastor who loves his fellowship, loves shaking hands with every single person, and when they go up and they teach and they're like, well, you know, that teaching seems kind of, it's not that in-depth. I'm looking for more of an in-depth Bible study, and my pastor doesn't ever teach it. Well, that's because he's a pastor, not a teacher. And so the two often get accused of not being enough of the other one. Wow. Teachers never have enough of a pastor's heart, and a pastor's not a good enough teacher. What you have to have is it's two parts, two offices of ministry that they have to work together. In fact, it's great if you find two people that occupy both roles, recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses, and all play off of that. And so again, that's just the dynamic between pastors and teachers. We need to all be working together for the edifying of the body, so that the body might edify itself. If you go and reread Ephesians 4 again, it says that the body is to edify itself. So that means we all are doing this work, and we all need the work of ministry. Mm-hmm. There's not a single person that doesn't need ministry. In fact, what I like to say is that everybody has a ministry language. There's a certain office of ministry that you need. If you're a non-believer, you need an evangelist. You need a missionary coming to you and teaching to you the good word. Mm-hmm. If you're already a believer, then you need to continue to grow and strengthen your knowledge. So you need to go listen to a teacher. If you got a family, you need a pastor who's going to teach you and counsel you with those things. If you find yourself in leadership, leading in ministry, you need a prophet around you telling you what the Lord's trying to get your attention on. You want them, you know, it's like, what's the Lord trying to tell me? You know, if a prophet is there to tell you it, then good. And you need the apostles, of course, to be in that leadership, establishing and building all the other offices of ministry. We all have to be working together as one body in one accord. But we have to recognize what gifts we have and what we receive. Whatever office or whatever station of life you're in, you might have a ministry language, the type of minister that you need that might come from one of those five offices. I also have a lot deeper teaching that ties all of those into the five love languages. If you've ever heard that lesson by Dr. Gary Chapman,
yep,
that we all have five love languages. Mm-hmm. There's an amazing parallel between the fivefold ministry and the five love languages, and everybody is, there's parallels to the five senses that we all have, and I got a deeper teaching in that I don't have time to go into all of it, but it's an amazing thing that we need to recognize inside the body as we need to grow and continue to minister to our fellow brethren, and what the Messianic movement or Christianity or any denomination whatsoever all needs to be operating, utilizing the fivefold ministry and all the gifts that the Messiah gives to us for edifying the body.
Wow, that's pretty huge coming from a general, you know. I don't mean that. That's not a stab. I'm serious. I think that in my experience, we'll call it the black church, you know, mm-hmm. I guess that's the label so people know what I'm talking about. We don't do cell groups because there's always the fear that somebody's going to go in there and split off and take some people and start a church. So, you know, we don't do cell groups for, in my experience, that reason. You mm-hmm. know, we don't send people out because we're trying to build something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try and hang on to them, and you know, we'll use those gifts as much as we can to build what we're doing. But I just don't know how good we are at really that model of the fivefold ministry you described.
We struggle with being a unified whole. We ourselves are not whole. We're not one. I do a lot of teaching also on the body, soul, and spirit, and that we have to be whole as God is whole. God is also divided in three parts, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and He's one. He's whole. He is Echad, as the scripture says.
Amen.
And He's not broken. He's never separated, but our human brain always tries to separate God into one of those three distinct parts, and one of them is our favorite. Whether we emphasize too much of the Holy Spirit and we all become Pentecostal, or we emphasize too much of the physical body of God, which was the Messiah, and then you have mainstream Christianity that sometimes worships that one part of God without giving enough reference to the Holy Spirit or God the Father, mm-hmm. or we only read the Old Testament and all we look at is God the Father and the power and the judge of the earth who sends plagues and delivers his people and creates the world, and that's God the Father. But God is whole in one. Why are we dividing what is never to be separated? Our human bodies, our body, soul, and spirit are all just all completely out of whack. Our bodies aren't healthy. Our spirit, our mind, and heart are somewhere else. And our soul, we're separated from God, and we're not whole in one. And so that we struggle with identifying God's oneness as well. Well, that same struggle with trying to make multiple things be one and unified at all times, we struggle that with the body of Messiah to unify the full fivefold ministry. And all the people that are here to work together work hand in hand, just like every part of your body. Sometimes your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing, but it's all part of the same body, and we have work that needs to be done. And so if there is somebody popping up in your fellowship that says, hey, we need to go out and reach the folks, we need to go evangelize or whatever, send them off with blessings and recognize that that's the spirit and that's the gift that God's given them to go and evangelize. Or if somebody is, if you got a great pastor, but you don't have enough in-depth Bible study or whatever, and somebody wants to start up a Bible study or a little cell group or small group or something like that, let them go have the deeper Bible study and let the teachers and the Bible nerds all talk about, you know, deeper parts of scripture and gematria and interpretations and Hebrew lexicons. If that's what they would like to study and learn, but understand and recognize that that's simply because other people have different ministry languages that they need to be served in different ways. All of us are all working together to be unified and whole and holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y, holy as one, as the body of Messiah, unified together so that we can do all the good work that God has commissioned us to do.
Amen. You know, I'm not sure I'm going to look at my hand the same way.
I hope you don't.
Going forward, I'm thinking about that model, and it's very helpful.
It is.
God made this hand to do good work exactly the way it's supposed to do, and it's that he works in patterns and examples. So if this hand does good work, then five things can come together and work, do good work as well.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you catch that? Do you know what your work is? Figure it out, and let's get moving. Tim, I really enjoyed that teaching, and I hope our listeners did too. Mm-hmm.
He identified Judah as the tribe of kings, for example. Later in the Torah, the tribe of Levi was given the special role of ministering around the tabernacle and the temple, and the priests were set apart from the tribe of Levi. Later, judges and prophets were set apart by Elohim. Like the scripture in Ephesians, we see the orderly organization of Yehovah.
Amen. Everyone had a role to play, and when they did their part with excellence, nothing went lacking and Yehovah was glorified. That being said, what would you do if you discovered that the way you live your life and some of your beliefs were out of line with God's instructions? Would you take the blue pill and believe that the thing Yehovah is putting on your heart to do would be better done by someone else?
Or would you take the red pill, find your role, and do it with all your might? Now, only you can answer that question. With everything going on in our world, the harvest is ripe for the good news of Yeshua. Special thanks again to Ephraim Judah of Lion and Lamb Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Please check out their teachings online and be a financial blessing to them if you can.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please go back and listen again to what we shared and talk about it with your family and friends. And thank you again for spending 15 or so minutes with us at Red Pill Tour, where
you can handle the truth.